the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
It's Oshazia's here. Hope you're all doing well out there. Thinking somebody's probably going to call in, but they'll wait till right in the middle of the show to do so. So, it's all good. Anyway, I put some links in the chat room over there at ShazizRadio.com and over there at AwakeRadio.com. And there's a couple things very interesting about these links that I'm hoping to talk about today. Anyway, one of the links out there, first before I say that, I want to say this. People of the future learn how to listen. You see, we're on a quest for a lot of things from the day we're born, like, you know, where did we come from, why are we here, and so on and so forth, you know, the mysteries of the universe. This world that we live in is just such an amazing, amazing journey. We have so many capabilities, it's just mind-boggling. And so I say, people of the future, they learn how to listen. You know, if you listen, you can learn a whole lot. You know, if you take in and you look at things like gravity and magnetism and the computer and the telephone and Morse code and binary code, they all have something in common. You know, in the laws of physics, they talk about energy can neither be created nor destroyed, which would tell me that energy has been around since the dawn of time. Energy is everything. There's, according to the electron theory, electron, proton, neutron, that all make up the atom that are literally energy. Little micro mini universes. You know, when you look out into the sky and you see all those little dots in the sky, it's amazing to think that around each one of those little shiny lights could potentially be another planet or a moon or a bunch of planets. And the actual fabric of space itself, the fabric of time itself, everything. You think about taking that massive scale, which to us the universe is infinite, the megaverse or whatever you want to call it. It's infinite. It's just so vast. And think about counting out the number of atoms that would exist in all of that. The numbers would go on for infinity. And so with that said, using the laws of physics that say that energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed, knowing that we've, as one form or another, been around for the beginning of time, that's something really, really profound. Hard to grasp. It's hard to grasp the numbers. It's hard to grasp the reality of it all. However, in this time where we're at now, we haven't necessarily learned how to listen. Nature is an awesome teacher. We've learned how to take ones and zeros and create a binary code that we could actually write programs on a computer and actually take that binary code and tell the computer to put up little dots, little colors here and there on the screen to show a picture. We've advanced so far as from the time the first light bulb till the LED to the TV and the computers that we look at and our cell phones, we've got amazing technology. We stand on the precipice of the future being so much more amazing than anything that we could possibly fathom. We've got a world out there that spends its time trying to destroy itself. And so with that said, the future of all humanity, the future us, figured out how to listen. It figured out how to communicate. They figured out how to work in harmony with it all. You can use this earth and its potentials so far away from where we're at right now. In the links, I talk about universal quantification, predicate logic, Morse code, and binary code. what do all these things have in common? Well, if you take binary code and Morse code alone, Morse code is merely dots and dashes. There's been people who have been in positions to where the only way that they could communicate was to bang out Morse code on a metal hull of a ship, or on a wall to send a message. And on the other side, if nobody knows Morse code, then it's simply just banging on the wall. Binary code is ones and zeros, and maybe one and a one, one, just one one and one zero would mean one thing. One one and three zeros would mean another thing, and so on and so forth. Exactly like Morse code. Nature has given you the medium by which you can transmit audio and data and information back and forth. You could transmit energy through the water, you could transmit messages through the water, you can transmit messages through the air from one atom to the next. You can literally communicate with nature. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? My friend Muddy, he was telling me some time back about, and Stephen Gibbons put a link in there about resonance. It all falls into to play with each other. The radio that you listen to with your favorite radio station has a frequency. And that frequency has to be received by the same frequency. You can't. You could actually have some sort of leeway on different sides of a frequency range that, where you ain't got it quite tuned in and you hear static, but you can still hear the message coming across. Universal quantification and predicate logic. I put a link also in there of the Hidden Grand Illusion. A nifty little deal that I put up there on Shazoo's radio. I suggest you take a look at it before this particular broadcast. It may not make any sense to you. It says at the bottom, build it and they will come. Free energy. It's got some nifty stuff up there. Universal quantification for alt, for any, for each. Predicate logic. The mysteries of the universe. The universe itself is like a massive library. The internet. Look at the internet. We tap out ones and zeros. We do it pretty doggone fast because the keyboard's been programmed for us. But essentially, we're tapping out Morse code. And the computers are fast enough to calculate the Morse code and understand what you need and then return the information that you're looking for. Artificial intelligence out there using that same knowledge of ones and zeros gives it the opportunity to begin to think for itself, to try to think ahead of you. I mean, look at Google. Go out there and Google something. Before you actually get done typing, it's already got multiple answers up there, potential responses to your request before you ever even asked it. So as far as all this stuff goes together and how it all comes into play, we've been searching for free energy. We've been searching for everything. Heck, we've been searching for aliens in space. We've been searching for, since the dawn of mankind, searching to find out where we came from, what it's all about. Energy is free if you know how to use it. There's potential energy in everything under the sun. There's potential energy in radio waves, sound waves, you name it. It's all potential energy. Tapping in what nature has provided is as simple as using your mind, thinking outside the box, and sometimes going against the grain of what you've been taught. You know, the future me is going to be sending messages back to the present me, using all this knowledge. And I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be listening for binary code. I'm going to be listening for Morse code. Yay, right in the middle of the show. Hello, Muddy.
Yeah, you, I guess squeezing the microphone.
Yeah, deal. You're live.
Yeah, I know. I've been listening.
You cracked me up, man.
Good morning, doggone it.
Good morning.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's got the day after Christmas hangover or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they missed out, man. I'm echoing. Okay, hold on. Let's see if I can fix that.
Okay. I'll fix that. That take care of it?
I think so.
Okay, that ought to work.
Alrighty, well, so to recap, now that you're on there, I talked about universal quantification, predicate logic, Morse code, and binary code all have something in common. Just like nature has things in common, we're all trying to figure out the perfect coil, the Starship coil, the Tesla coil, the doggone Slayer Exciter. We're trying to figure out all kinds of different methods by which to bottle up energy and store it in order to be able to use it for a useful function. But all along, the answer's been there right in front of our face. The problem is that this time right here, this section where humanity is right now, where we stand, they haven't learned how to listen yet. You know, some folks out there, we call it thinking outside the box. They have, to some extent, learned how to listen, but they just don't get it. They don't understand. Somebody's banging out Morse code. Somebody's banging out binary code. It's all universal quantification and predicate logic. It's basic, simple. You know, if you're not a math whiz, you wouldn't understand what the heck it is I'm talking about. I don't even understand what it is I'm talking about when it comes to math, because I'm terrible at math. My brain just don't function like that. However, I do understand thinking outside the box. I do understand listening. You know, as the waves are slapping to the shore, there's something going on there. When the wind is blowing through the trees, there's something going on there. The massive gravitational field of everything that is, the massive magnetic field of everything that is, the pool that you're standing in, the water, you know, you can tap out a message on the water that can be heard on the other side, in all directions, whether it be forward in time and backward in time. But we haven't learned how to listen. Listening to all the anomalies. That's what was really fascinating about this movie that they got out there called Interstellar. I put a link into a trailer for Interstellar, and it's just amazing. You know, there's a couple things I would have done different about the movie, but as a whole, this movie literally it talked exactly about my theories on everything. It's funny because, what's that guy's name that's doing the Theory of Everything movie? Doggone it. I hate it when that happens.
The Theory of Everything. Oh my goodness.
The guy in the wheelchair. Doggone it. Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, he talks with that mechanical voice.
Yeah. He's a brilliant mind. Stephen Hawking. Yeah, that's who it is. Anyway. He's got his theory of everything. I got my theory of everything. You got your theory of everything. What I think we all failed to do up until this point is learn how to listen. You know, the future of humanity. See, we're searching for aliens. You know? We're searching for all kinds of things.
I listen. What'd you say the last 30 minutes? Could you repeat that?
See? Anyway,
Nah, people got too much on their mind, too much, they're having to work more hours, you know.
Yeah, but I don't care about all that.
Holiday season, they ain't got much time, but basically when they listen to something, they put it in the background. The kids in school, they want to sit there and do their homework while texting, and, you know, they wonder why their homework takes so long and stuff, and they just put in just the answers and go on. They're not listening at all.
I don't care about all that anymore. I don't care about the two guys.
They just want noise in the background.
Yeah. I don't care about the two jobs. I don't care about the bills. I don't care about all the crazy stuff going on in the world. I don't need any more answers. The answers are already all there. It's just, you know, are we going to use those answers? That's the question. Are we going to use all the things that we know? Are we going to learn how to listen? These kids going to school, are they going to use the knowledge that they're getting in school? You know, are they going to get out there? You know, I thought, you know, every once in a while you could have an original idea. I thought that you could be the first one to think about something, the first one to create something. Yesterday, I shocked the living crud out of myself with a circuit board that I took out of an electric fly swatter, and I made a miniature Tesla coil with it. And okay, and I'm thinking, hey, man, that's pretty cool. Look what I come up with. That's a good idea. Then I get out there, and I talk to you, and I Google it, and doggone it, somebody hadn't already done it, you know. But that goes back to everything that I've been talking about since this show started today, about universal quantification, predicate logic, Morse code, and binary code. The moment you think it, it's already created. That's it. It's that simple. The moment you think of anything, it's already here. Somebody's already thought about it. And the reason being is that you can't take one atom in this entire world and bump that atom without affecting anything else in this world. It's like, I don't know if you've ever heard of some call it the butterfly effect or something like that, you know, something. You know what I'm saying? You still there?
The butterfly effect?
Yeah, you know, like the butterfly waves wings and causes a tsunami on the other side of the planet? You know what I mean? Well, if you think about what I'm saying here, it's really super profound. I mean, this is... you got to go watch that movie. It's just amazing how this movie... you know, they say life imitates art. And if anybody was trying to give you a message, that one right there was trying to give you a message. What if you were the humanity of the future and you're trying to ensure that us people who aren't really listening survive, you know? If you go, like, here's an example, man. If you, with everything that you know right now, all the knowledge that you've acquired throughout your entire life, if you could talk to yourself in the past and tell yourself what you know now, do you think that yourself would pay attention? Do you think yourself would even know how to listen to you?
That's a strange question.
Got you dumbfounded, huh? Think about it. I wouldn't listen to myself in the past because what I'm saying right now sounds kind of crazy. I mean, I wouldn't even think it was me, probably. I would probably be so skeptical, I would delete the email or whatever. But that's why, you know, if...
You've been talking about that for a while, though, going into the past and sending yourself an email.
Yeah.
What you been doing with them Tesla coils?
A lot. What I'm saying right now, now that I'm at this point where I'm talking about the connection between universal quantification, predicate logic, Morse code, and binary code, and nature, and energy, and free energy, and secrets of the universe, and the universe being like a library, you know, gravity, magnetism, computers, and telephone, what they all have in common. Now I'm listening. I'm listening for any sound, any disturbance in static that is tapping out a message. And I'll listen. If an email shows up this time around, whether I get a virus on my computer or whatever, I'm going to listen. I'm going to open that email. So how's that going to affect my future if I open the email from a message or whatever, if I catch a message that I have sent myself in the present from the future? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now,
well, how do you send an email back in time? That's kind of hard to do.
Well, you know, when you talk about dimensions, you talk about like we're in the third dimension or the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension or whatever. If you think about the entire universe and all that is being in multiple layers in all different directions with all different possibilities that you could go anywhere. Universes and worlds, parallel, and so on and so forth. If in the past I had an email that is no longer in existence, if I send it now if I send an email from this dimension to the past, what I will get is a Mailer Damon notice back that said that email doesn't exist. However, in any other dimension where it does exist, as it travels through time, going backward at the speed of light, or however fast the message actually goes. Either way, once I tapped that message out on the keyboard and I sent it, it sent a ripple in all different directions, not only backwards but forward. It sent it like the ripple in the pond effect.
Yeah.
And so, in the other dimension, I opened it, you know, and I ended up with the lottery numbers for a couple years after. I just played those lottery numbers. I ended up being a multi-billionaire in that doggone time frame. But here's the thing. It affects me none at all. All I got was the doggone Mailer Damon notice saying that it was undeliverable. And it would not change nothing in my time zone. I would still be on the same time zone that I am. But in the alternate dimension, that time zone would change off and go off into a different direction, and I'm living in a mansion instead of a house. You see what I'm saying?
I just go back in time and give yourself a phone call.
Well, so... So with this other deal that I'm talking about here, tapping a message into a gravity wave, or tapping a message into, you know, anything out there, it will ripple across all dimensions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, sorry, I had to blow my nose and mute my mic.
Blow your nose and mute your mic.
Hey, that's more polite than I was in the past. I just thought it was funny then.
If you tap the bubble, everyone in that bubble gets the message if they know how to listen. What do you think?
I got an old Radio Shack all band receiver. And I do mean all band. It's an old sucker. Somebody got it when they were cleaning out a house and said, "I can't do anything with it. Can you?" And I stuck a long wire antenna on the back of it, and I pulled in all sorts of stuff except on a few of the bands, and I went in there and turned a few of the coil adjustments and tuned that sucker in for both ends of the band. I had to keep going back and forth. I got that thing great now, but the very low bands, which are pretty close, I mean, when you sit there and you look at it and you say, "Is this for real?" That goes down into the audio spectrum of magnetic waves. It's an amazing radio. I've spent hours listening to the sounds of the earth, magnetically and all that kind of stuff, and I noticed it changing over the years. It sounds like a, you know, sometimes just a little distortion, and sometimes, you know, I've even heard some of them things, like, remember when they heard them weird sounds all over the earth?
Yep.
I heard a few things like that a few times. I should have been tuning in about that time to find out, but basically that radio was buried, and I never did. It would have been interesting to find out what was going on.
Think about this for a second. That radio that you're talking about is amazing technology that we've had around. I got an old international, and it does pretty much the same thing. It, you know, you can tune it into any frequency. I actually heard the Russian radio station on it at one time. But all those frequencies out there, you know, even frequencies that are so, so low that, if you had a tuner that could listen in to every single frequency out there and then be able to pick up the distortions and anomalies like you're talking about, to be able to receive, you know, once you get the Morse code, you got to have a way to translate it back into where we can understand it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, so if you have the capability to literally tap on the ground and interrupt that the magnetism or whatever you want to call it, gravitational field, all the way to the opposite side of the earth, as long as somebody can tune into that and be able to transmit or pick that Morse code up coming on the opposite side and put it back into understandable information, that you can send an information through anything. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm pretty good at Morse code there. I tried for my 16 words a minute and I didn't get out 13 words a minute. And that's about the time I became a general class operator for ham radio and stuff. They threw the code out, something that we were all proud of for years, that we learned it and we can communicate back and forth with it. And I wanted to take that 13 words per minute. They said, well, it's not needed. I said, they didn't close it yet. I want my certificate. And they said, well, we didn't bring anything with us to do it. I said, well, then tap some out. And they said, well, we ain't got time.
You know, the
but,
old...
Yeah, so I didn't get that, but I can do the 13 words per minute barely, but that 5 words per minute, no problem. You can always send out faster than you can receive. I know I can do close to 32. It sounds like a radio teletype.
The old...
I knew an old man that could actually talk to the radio teletype because it's so close to Morse code.
The old modems, the acoustic couplers, is what they call them. They listen to sound, all right, and they turn the sound into ones and zeros, dots and dashes. Essentially, a computer is sending Morse code to another computer, which then turns it into usable information. And before it
like
ever
Skype
does,
is doing, like Skype is doing right now.
Well, pretty much like everything is doing. And when I was talking about the hidden grand illusion, that picture that's on there.
Yeah.
If you look at the picture really well, you see something very interesting in it. And every single thing, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what words. I mean, you know, some people like the Bible code. There's a good example. Or the Da Vinci code. There's codes in everything. I mean, skip every other letter. Skip every other 3 letters. Skip every other 4 letters, you know. Mathematics, the wonders of mathematics, the things that you can do and how they all seem to come back to prime numbers and so on and so forth, you know. You got on this, the answer, the hidden grand illusion, there's, you take the word shaziz and you flip it upside down, you mirror it, and now you end up with symbols, and you turn those symbols sideways and they tell something. You know, and it's all essentially back to binary again. Ones and zeros and dots and dashes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you sent me that a while back. I looked at it, and I looked at it for a long time, tried to figure out what you were getting at. And I got it a little bit, but I didn't get much out of it. I tried though.
What is the frequency? It's a wave.
How many beats per second?
Yeah.
Or how many cycles per second?
Okay, and we recognize that in a wave form. We'd recognize it in a standing wave, a square wave, a sine wave. We recognize these specific waves for different types of energy or whatever. But if you look at a frequency, like let's take a microwave for a second. A microwave frequency is going to be a lot shorter and a lot faster than, say, your standard 60 hertz electrical wave, right?
Well, yeah, the lower the frequency, the longer the bandwidth.
Either way, you could draw that out with a squiggly line, like a little tiny squiggly line all the way up to a really long squiggly line. Dots and dashes, ones and zeros.
Right.
Yeah. So the answer to everything is written right in front of everyone's face. The whole we call it the Holy Grail, over unity, zero points, so on and so forth, free energy. But what they haven't looked at was the simplicity of it all. You jump on a river in a canoe, you go downstream with the river. You're not doing nothing to the river outside of maybe you're displacing it a little bit with your canoe, but you're still not changing the fact that that flow hasn't changed because you got on it. You see what I'm saying? And with wind energy, the same thing. When the wind blows through, you haven't done anything to the wind. You haven't slowed the wind down. You haven't affected it in any means whatsoever. All you've done is maybe kind of maybe displaced it a little bit and sent a wave off into a different direction. Because as that prop is going through the air, it's creating its own frequency, a sound wave, an acoustic wave that if you're listening, you could actually hear. And speeding it up and slowing it down into dots and dashes, ones and zeros, you could literally send data with your windmill. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, no matter what, the reason why we haven't figured out the whole Holy Grail of free energy, because number one, we started off doing all this stuff wrong to begin with. We as humanity, you know, the guys at the beginning, when they designed these things, they weren't designed with, over unity or zero point in mind. They weren't designed to work in harmony with nature. They weren't designed to be efficient. However, if you could go back and you could tell them what you know now and tell them how things would actually play out, and then you could show them that you could take this same thing and you could, instead of trying to force nature in one direction or another, instead of trying to store this energy in one direction or another, you just tap into the actual flow that's going on. You know, when I talked, we had the... There's a guy out there that talks about doing this one kind of plasma reactor where he made the doggone Keshi. Alright? Maybe the guy's brilliant. Maybe he's trying to scam people or whatever. But either way...
What's a Keshi?
Huh?
What's a Keshi?
Well, he's the guy that did... He did the reactor that had the soda bottle with the two little probes down inside there. And he got a nice little nifty chemical reaction by... first initially coating the inside of this bottle, and then as all the molecules of the atmosphere are coming into this bottle and interacting with these chemicals, for as long as that chemical lasts, you could actually get a measurable voltage as the, let's say, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, or whatever, slamming into the probes inside this bottle. Any interaction inside that bottle would actually give you a testable voltage.
Right.
And so what he was trying to say is to build, you know, the perfect generator that would tap into the literal ether of the world, the earth, the space, and whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I've had a theory over time, basically, if we tap the energy of the earth like that, then are we using the energy? I mean, are we tapping the life force of the planet? Are we killing the planet?
No. No, we're not.
I mean, we're already drinking all the blood out of it and pouring it in our cars, you know.
No, we're not killing the planet, but we're using it inefficiently. We're basically polluting our own fishbowl is what we're doing. But the time itself, it's irrelevant. You know, down here it's relevant because if you don't pay attention to time, you're late for work. But out in space, time depends on where you're standing. If you're standing next to a black hole and somebody else is standing on the Earth, time is different. If you're rotating around the Earth in a little capsule, and when you come back, the people on the Earth are a few minutes older, a few minutes ahead of you, because the farther you got away from what we call our time in this actual on the Earth itself, because we have a 24-hour clock. What about the planet that has a 64-hour clock? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Time is only relevant to the perception of the observer. Wherever you're at in any time and space, you know, the gravitational field could affect the entire timeline of everything. You know, that's why I say you got to go watch this movie. It's a fascinating movie. There is one planet on there that I sure as heck never want to go to.
What's this movie?
It's called Interstellar.
Interstellar. Where do we find that?
Well, I put a link to the trailer in Shaziz Radio. It probably got zoned way up there, but it's also in Awake Radio chat room as well. You can Google it on YouTube. Let me just throw another link right in there to refresh it on the YouTube deal. Anyway, the movie's fascinating. I won't tell the whole movie because I don't want to spoil it for you, but one of the planets that they went to, I would not want to go on. And essentially, it was a water planet. The whole ocean was probably waist deep, but the problem is the planet was so close to a black hole that the gravitational forces would literally kick up a wave. And so the entire planet, one minute you're standing in waist-deep water, and you're looking out, which in this trailer you'll see where they talk about, that's not a mountain, that's a wave, you know? And so this wave is continuously going around this planet because of the gravitational pull of the black hole that this planet is next to. It's not only added 7 years for every hour that you're out there, but it's got a gigantic wave, a massive wave just flying around this planet. So you got calm water while you're in the middle of these waves, and you got the death roll, or the death punch coming around every so often. My God, man, you couldn't even build a house or anything. Now, if you were a super surfer, that would be the planet for you, because you could catch the ultimate wave forever and just ride it around this planet forever. But if you ever decided to get off, you're screwed.
Yeah, just kind of go up to the top of the wave and flip over. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
As long as the wave isn't curling and got the white water in it, you know?
You better have a lot of energy, because by the time you get through resting up, that next wave is coming around again. But either way, you know, it's a fascinating movie. You got to watch it. I probably would have made the ending just a little bit better. I won't spoil the ending of it, but I would have probably done just one thing different in the end.
I think you just have to grow some gills.
The water's only waist deep. If you grow some gills, you're going to have like a road rash on your face as you're trying to stay underwater while this wave is sliding you across the surface. So, you know, find a deep spot and move in or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is an interesting movie, but back to what we were talking about. You know, We need to learn how to listen. We need to learn how to listen to nature. We need to learn how to, instead of trying to divert the river off somewhere else, just tap into the energy that's already being expended. I mean, think about it for a second. A volcano puts out so much energy and heat and stuff that it was unlimited potential not even being used. The thermoelectrics, the pressure, the boiling water, the turn into steam, that's just, that don't even scratch the surface of what you could actually do if you tapped into what we would call an obnoxious volcano, you know? Poisonous gases coming out of there. Well, some of them gases are flammable. You can burn those gases, you know? There's other things out there, natural gas fields that they're always going to be there. You can tap into them. You're not ever going to run out of natural gas. And the wind, same thing. The sun, we're floating. We're literally floating in a sea of energy.
Right.
And if people would learn how to listen, nature's talking, you know? If you pollute your fishbowl, nature starts to give you warning signs. You start to itch. You start to feel a little queasy and sick. And you're on your way down because you didn't pay no attention, you know? And so, if it ain't for some outside force coming in to change your water every so often, or you didn't build you some sort of filtration system, eventually your water becomes so acidic it burns your gills and you croak.
Right. You got to have plants to take the ammonia out of the water.
Yep. But nature was telling you all along, hey, do something about this. You're killing yourself, fool. And you didn't listen.
No? I'm looking at the planet and I'm pretty doggone sure they're trying to poison the whole doggone thing. I look at Chernobyl and they show where that was supposed to be uninhabitable for so many thousands of years, and basically they got wildlife out there.
Yeah, and it's not true that if you've got a radioactive deal like that it's uninhabitable for thousands of years. I mean, look at Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
They're still radioactive there, and there's radiation there. And the natural ecology is actually adapted to it and still absorbing it, taking it out and taking care of it, changing its form.
There's radiation
but
everywhere.
It's still got a ways to go. But if they sit there and try to radiate this whole planet and knock it all out and then hide underground for a number of years with a bunch of food, with a lot of food source and stuff, they can't hold that many people.
No, they'll kill themselves, man. It just, look.
It's self-destruction, I think, but I don't know what the whole plan is. I know somebody put up that Georgia Guidestones, and, you know, that wasn't done in the past. That wasn't done in the past. That was done recent. I believe, anyway.
See, they're ignoring. They're ignoring. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. They think that, you know, by reducing the population, you know, down to a more manageable number, that the Earth can live in harmony. The Earth could support so many more than so much more people than what's actually here on this Earth right now. This Earth is amazing.
If we stop polluting the doggone thing.
Well, yeah. If we got to the point where we was tipping nature off balance, the nature would throw something out there, throw a disease out there, and kill off a few of us. You know, you know, we could never overpopulate this planet. Now,
I see. Why not let it happen naturally? I know it'd be some hard times, but you know, hey. Gosh, the Black Plague took a good chunk of the world's, population there for a bit, and I mean it spread and came across there. But I don't see why. I figure you should let it happen naturally. You'll have the right one to come by.
Yeah.
Not invent them and put them out there.
Look, if you tap into nature and you pay attention to what nature's doing, and you learn from it, then the future of humanity's got a choice. I mean, a chance. You know, there probably will come a day in the history of this world that we have to get up off this rock and fly somewhere else if we want to survive as a species. You know, maybe we have already done it. Maybe right now.
I think eventually this world will be destroyed by maybe a comet or what, you know, or a big asteroid or whatever. but I don't see trying to rush it up ahead. I know they're trying to get they're trying to populate and get everybody to Venus or Mars and stuff like that. They've got little space programs and people all signed up ahead of time to go whenever, you know, for whenever they get it to, whenever they get the transportation, trying to get their transportation straight where they can actually do it. But I don't think I want to go there. Well, yeah, I mean, say you go to Venus or something, man, I'm pretty sure it's pretty hot, number one.
Well, first off,
number
you
two,
stand
you're
Venus
a lot closer. You're a lot closer to one of them coronal mass ejections.
You couldn't stand on Venus. You have to float above the clouds in Venus. And so I wouldn't want to go there because if your ship failed, then you've got 800 times the pressure of the Earth coming down on top of you and you're crushed.
Mars, well, that's another deal. There isn't much oxygen there. They'd have to take some oxygen from here.
But the key is, Muddy, listen. The key is we can terraform any planet. We have the knowledge, we have the technology, we have every answer to every question that we ever needed in order to go from one rock to the next rock and on out there into space. And we have the capabilities to get there in an instant. Not thousands of years, not having to freeze yourself to get there. To be there, literally, as soon as you push the button, you have arrived. We have all that technology. We have the capability to go everywhere in any direction that we want. And we just don't do it. That's all. That's as simple as that. The guys up at the top, you look at NASA. Alright? Look at NASA. Look at the ships that you see that NASA's showing you, like the space shuttle and all these different satellites up there. Dude, those are Stone Age. That's like riding into space in an old hot water tank. You know?
Right.
There's nothing to it. It's junk. Compared to where we could be right now, compared to where those that you guys all keep talking about, Area 51 and all the Black Ops projects all over the world, compared to what they've got hidden in their bunkers, you think they don't know about the whole predicate logic, Morse code, binary code, universal quantifications? You think that these brilliant science guys out there don't know about gravity and magnetisms and what computers and telephones all have in common? Dude, they figured it out. They figured it out years ago. If they hadn't figured it out, you wouldn't be sitting there looking at microscopic Tesla coils in your cell phone. You wouldn't be looking into all these different technologies that are just screaming along right now. All right, well, if you are the guy up there and you're spending the people's money to do all your secret black ops projects, you obviously don't want to tell the people what you're up to because they might, cut the credit card in half, so to speak. However, you can keep them happy and distracted with all kinds of technology. You can become so powerful because now whoever has the biggest laser gun is the boss. You know what I mean?
The biggest laser gun.
Yeah.
But here's one thing: if they're gonna sit there and if they're gonna knock out the population of the Earth, wouldn't they be trying to get all the gold so they don't have to search and look for it or re-mine it? I think we saw something like that.
The problem is they can't knock us out without destroying themselves. There's the whole conundrum. That's why they haven't took over the world. Kind of like the whole gun control issue over in the United States. The only reason why we ain't been conquered by a foreign nation or our government itself is because we have the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, you know, in the Constitution. Well, okay, people don't think we need a Constitution. They don't believe in all that kind of stuff, but think about this for a second. If you don't have what means by which you can defend yourself, then anybody can just walk right in and take whatever you've got. That's all there is to it. That's no ifs, ands, or buts. But if you got an informed, educated people that know that certain things exist and have tasted freedom, then you're not going to be able to just walk in there so easily and take it all. You know, you're going to have to do something drastic in order to kill all the people of this earth. You know, you're going to have to put some sort of poison down, you know, and kill them off gradually, because if people start dropping like flies, the brilliant minds are going to start asking questions and tracking it back to the source, and eventually you're screwed if you're the one that started it. So, you know, with that said, they can't kill us all off without killing themselves. They can't nuke the planet without nuking themselves. All these people out there that looking for the whole utopia and think the ends justify the means by blowing up and killing other people out there. Every time you kill somebody, you put humanity back another 100, 200 years, possibly even 1,000 years. We could have been so far advanced right now, it ain't even remotely funny. What we're looking for out in space and time isn't aliens. It's us. We've been looking for ourselves forever, but we just won't listen. We won't listen to ourselves. It's like me calling myself from the future to the past and saying, hey, this is me from the future. You know, okay, you nut, drink another bottle and hang up on them. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, a lot of these things you're talking about, they'd have to do this, they'd have to do that. Man, I would think we all see evidence of it already, but, I mean, I'm not trying to get off into that subject, but...
Well, you know, they are making a mess of things. They're pissing in the fishbowl, for Pete's sake. And
I agree there.
They didn't ask nobody's permission to do so. They're not furthering humanity, they're holding humanity back. If they killed us all off tomorrow, every single human on this planet, then, you know, humanity stops. If they nuke us, and if the scare tactics of what they have said all these years, about thousands of years before you can go back into some place, because you're going to die if you go into a radiated place, you're going to die 30 or 40, maybe 50 years later of cancer. Well, I might have died 30, 40, 50 years later of cancer anyway, because I didn't eat right. But the energy that we're wasting out there, they're burying waste fuel rods in the dirt, for Pete's sake, in stacking concrete, because they don't know what to do with them. But with that technology that they got, they're still boiling water, for Pete's sake. They're not doing nothing. They're boiling water. Why not boil the water with some doggone wood or something if you're going to try to keep the planet safe? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not listening. They're not listening to nature. They should be listening to every mad scientist out there. They should be open and outside the box and thinking about, if we're really worried about the world, let's save the world by tapping into nature and work in harmony with it. A water wheel, buddy. Think about a water wheel for a second. Once you put that water wheel up in it and the stream keeps on rolling, as long as that stream keeps on rolling and you maintain that water wheel, you know, keep the bearings good or whatever, then that water wheel will generate electricity forever and never even harm nature. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We got the potential of thermal venting that we could use to generate all the electricity from here till this planet's no longer in existence. Energy is free. Free electricity is free. The only drawback to why it is that we can't find the so-called holy grail of free energy is that we have people that are holding us back. We already got it. I took that little bug zapper fly swatter, which normally only uses 3 volts. It uses 2 1.5-volt batteries in the actual fly swatter.
Triple A's or double A's?
Double A's. And they're 3 volts.
Yeah, those are the good ones.
So that right there, you know, people are sticking their tongues on it, zapping their tongue. You know, they got enough intelligence to figure out, hey, let me lick this fly swatter and shock myself. Hey, you know, woohoo. All right. That's exciting.
I made a Franklin Bell out of mine.
But listen to this. I took this same doggone fly swatter, and I made a bad mistake. I had the circuit in my hand. I hit that puppy with a 9-volt battery and about laid myself out, man. And so I get this idea, I'm going to make me a Tesla coil out of this doggone thing, and I did, and it worked. But the 9-volt battery eventually destroyed the transistor, so now I got to replace the transistor in that little circuit. But that little circuit is amazing. If you had the proper circuitry before that, you could run that same circuit off of any voltage. So we had the capabilities to take, build a solid state, no moving part generator using transistors, which essentially is nothing more than a switch. It's a really fast switch. That's all it is.
Kind of like the Slayer Exciter.
Yeah, the Slayer Exciter, the Tesla coil, it all started with one guy sitting there flipping a knife switch over and over and over and over again, doing it at different speeds to see what was going on, what was causing that surge of energy from one side to the other. Got a whole bunch of energy bottled up in a battery, and it wants to get out, It's kind of like
there's another way to do all that too. You could take a relay. It's got a magnetic coil. Basically, when the coil's energized, it moves the switch down to one connection, and takes it off the other connection. Then when it's de-energized, or when you don't have any electricity running through it, it goes back up to another connection. You put the coil and the normally on position part of the switch. You put that in series with what they call the armature, which is the moving switch, and you just put it in series. When it's up, it's energized. It pulls the armature down, and it's disconnected, so it goes back up and does it again. And basically, they call it a buzzer, a relay buzzer, and you can put a voltage through that real easy. That's one of the quickest ways I know you can do something.
Well, you know what?
You've got to put some amps through it. You need a heavier one.
But what's going on there, if people pay attention to what's actually occurring in your system that you're talking about, all you're doing is interfering with energy that already exists. All you're doing is like when you was talking about how you could stand in the pool and then start slapping the water, and then eventually you get the water to going over the side of the doggone pool.
Right. I was just moving my arms back and forth across the top of the pool.
Yeah.
Not slapping the water. But yeah, you can actually do that through buoyancy too. You put your hand on the water and keep pushing up and down, not letting your hand sink much, and it'll still do the same thing, but just not as strong. So I like to put my hands out to the side with my thumbs up and basically just keep... try to fly like a bird, but you can feel it in the water. Just like when you're on a swing, you know at a certain point you feel yourself ready to stop. It's time to shift your weight again. You get to the other side, you shift your weight. You do the same thing in the pool, and basically you're feeling what frequency that you're playing with. And if you want smaller waves and more of them, just kind of move a little faster. You can double it. You can still feel that there. You actually feel the resonances of the pool, harmonics or whatever.
Yeah. And back to the whole universal quantification, it's recognized by a symbol, an upside down A. PX means P is X is true for all X. Essentially, universal quantification is for all, for any, for each. Same thing with Morse code, ones and zeros. You can take those ones and zeros, and could you imagine the alphabet in the ones and zeros, from A to Z?
Like ASCII code.
Yeah. And then, not only that, you can take all these ones and zeros and do them in the mathematical code as well, from zero all the way up to 10 or whatever, into infinity if you want to go that far. How many ones, how many zeros would be in the entire code of everything that exists?
Yeah.
Dude.
I used to play with that binary, especially when I was in college. The teacher would put a number up on the board, and I'd look at it, and I got it down to where within 4 seconds I'd tell them what the number was. If it wasn't more than like 8 or 9 places or something, I could just look at it pretty much and tell you what it was. octal is three digits of the two. Then there's you got hexadecimal, and that's four places, but it goes up more in figures. It goes all the way on. That's where you take your 4-bit system and goes all the way up to starts off with zero with nothing on, and your one is just the one in the ones place, and goes up a few letters A, B, C, D, E, and F, and that's in your teens. And so, I mean, it's pretty cool, but just the basic binary number, a straight binary number up to about 8 digits, that's pretty cool. I played with that. I learned how to add, multiply, divide, and subtract, and everything just with the ones and zeros, and I got to where I could do it in my head.
Well, I challenge you.
At one time, it actually seemed a lot easier than doing regular math.
And since you have experience with binary, I challenge you and anyone out there to make a tiny picture, smaller than a thumbnail, just a tiny picture, and get that picture out and count out the binary in the actual pixels themselves. There's so many colored, there's so many reds, so many different shades in there. Count out those pixels and see if you come up with something, a message.
Using what as a source to look at?
You can use whatever you want. There's paintbrush. You can zoom in on paintbrush. There's different programs where you can actually zoom in down to the actual pixel of the picture. There's that GIMP program that's a graphics program. There's so many different graphics programs out there. If you take and look at any pixel, any picture, the more you zoom in, the more it becomes pixelated, and you can actually start to count the pixels. But count how many, for a certain picture, how many whites or blues or whatever before the next one, and see if you can find anything like Morse code inside there or binary code inside the actual colors themselves of the numbers, one white and then one blue and then two whites and then one blue and then one white and one blue and so on down the line. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a binary system at that point.
But even the colors themselves can make up the binary code. Even the colors themselves can make up the Morse code. There could be a message literally hidden in every single picture.
Oh, yeah. They do that. You download a picture. Sometimes in the picture, I mean, look, they hide codes in so many different things there. My mind ain't that complicated.
Well, think about it, though. You go all the way back to subliminal messages in the doggone theater, man. One frame of popcorn and candy and Coke and stuff like that put right in the middle. Your brain doesn't even register it as, your eyes aren't fast enough to catch it and say, hey, I just saw that picture. But your brain, your subconscious, it picks up everything. It's an amazing camera. And so suddenly you're hungry for popcorn and candy and all that, and the snack bar lines are longer than heck. It seems like every time you got to go to the bathroom at the movie theater, you got to stand in line for an hour. By that time, the movie's over.
Yeah.
So it's like,
because everybody has to go. Everybody wants to go to the bathroom when they get to the boring part.
Yeah, because you have no original thought. You have no, once you thought it is created, as soon as you said in your mind, I got to go to the bathroom, well, suddenly everybody says, well, I got to go to the bathroom too. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait for the boring part. And then in their mind, they're saying, ah, the boring part. I'll go during the boring part. There won't be nobody in the bathroom. Can you add Justin to the call? Because I can't.
There he is. Yeah, I guess so. We'll add Justin in here.
Anyway.
Asked him a while ago. Let me see here. Mr. Justin. You think it's about time to warm up the coffee?
Yeah.
Mine's cold.
We'll throw a tune in there and take a quick coffee break and come back and polish off the Mad Science Show. But either way, there's put a whole lot on the table for people to think about. Now, I say, if you want to have some fun and you're interested in mystery, start looking at everything as a message. You know, look at dots and dashes and pixelations and color and numbers and all that kind of stuff. And you might just be surprised what you come up with. And if you listen, you might be telling yourself something. You might be telling yourself an important message from some time in space back to the present. Sound crazy?
Well, Stephen Gibbons put in the chat, he put a bunch of 8-digit numbers there in a row. I'll look at those real quick. Let's say, let's have the first one there. It's the last one. It ends, let's see, it's got 5. The last one's 25. And let me see here. The other one's, the one next to it, no, it's not 15. It's got more up there. But anyway, I mean, I usually just read them right off like that, but it's been a while. But back then, I used to catch those things, almost less than a second each.
Well, if the computer brain, if the human brain could learn how to read ones and zeros and dots and dashes and all the different codes that are right there before your very eyes, dude, we would be where we're talking about going already. You know what I mean? But right now it's a mystery. It's a fun. It's an adventure. So stay tuned and we'll be back after a short music break.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Can you remember?
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. I got Justin on here, and I got Muddy on here, and we're talking about all kinds of interesting stuff. You know, I say energy is free if you know how to use it, and it's as simple as understanding a few things about math and physics and all that kind of stuff. I put some links in there for the universal quantification, predicate logic, Morse code, and binary code, and talked about gravity, magnetism, computers, and telephones, what all those have in common, and the secret of the universe is the universe itself is like a library. You learn Morse code and binary and how to listen. And you can learn a whole lot. We could do a lot of amazing things. One of the things that I've been trying to point out is no matter where you are in time and space, math stands true. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at or how you want to phrase it or what you want to call it. A one is a one. You know, if you have one apple and you're in this time, you have one apple in that time, whatever. You know, if there's zero, there's zero. Ones and zeros, you know, they stand true throughout everything. No matter what planet you're on, no matter what time zone you're in, or whether there's total lack of time, if you only have one, you only have one. If you have zero, you have zero. So with math, you can literally calculate out how many of those apples would literally fit in a certain size basket. And so with that said, all we're doing down here is taking and mixing this chemical with that chemical to get this reaction. We're mixing this amount with that amount to get that reaction, and so on and so forth. We're not doing anything other than tapping into what's already there. See, we've kind of got to the point where we're trying to force out more than nature wants to give you. So therefore, you have this balancing effect, this law of physics that says energy can neither be created nor destroyed, and you can't never get out more than you put in. Well, when we stop trying to get out more than we're put in, and we start figuring out how to use it properly, there's energy everywhere. There's energy potential in every single thing under the sun, including one little tiny molecule of dust. It's that simple. If you could get down in the microscopic level and see everything going on, you would figure out that we're living in an electrical universe. We're living in an amazing, you know. When you get into quantum physics, it talks about all kinds of things just appearing and disappearing at random, at will. If you look at it, it's there. If you don't look at it, it's not. So on and so forth. You guys understand what it is I'm saying?
Mathematics is it's studying and mathematics is learning and comprehending nature.
Well, essentially, you can take everything from geometry to trigonometry and all those different deals. You can write up mathematical equations for every everything under the sun. You can. My uncle used to be doing this all the time, and he was amazing at it. He could put in a mathematical equation and come up with these really awesome looking geometrical shapes and vortex drawings and stuff on the computer. And to watch all that came from just numbers, I mean, it's just cool, man. You know, 360 degrees in a circle, the clock on the wall, I mean, that clock and the numbers can tell you so much, and you can find messages, code after code after code in every single thing that exists. Whew! I need to take a breath and turn this heater off. What do you guys think?
I think it would be one heck of a long number if you figured out the university to one number. I don't think it would be 42. I don't think the number would fit on a calculator, that's for sure.
Well, that's a fact. There ain't going to be enough paper to do it all, but as far as cyberspace and as far as space and time itself is the unlimited number, you know, if all the digits are already there and you have all these digits to work with, the digits are so vast. I mean, for example, on any beach, man, you need to get you some Robitussin or something. And if you think about on the beach, how many grains of sand is on the beach? And if you take all those grains of sand and then you go down to the atomic scale of it all, how many atoms are in all the grains of sand on the beach? And then you factor in all the different water molecules and hydrogen and nitrogen and everything. You know, the sub-universe as opposed to the actual universe, the megaverse, or however time and space, infinity and beyond, goes in both directions. The smaller you can get all the way down to the beginning of all everything. What do they call those? The Hadron Collider keeps on trying to find the God particle or whatever, you know, what makes everything what it is, you know, how it glues
it all
together.
They're measuring the oxidization rate of a solar system.
Well, I don't even...
And they're trying to figure out the exact decay rate of our own planet. It's a waste of time. It's for scientists to keep going in circles.
It's a waste of money is what it is. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of resources. If you're going to try to figure out the mysteries of the universe, the first thing you need to do is listen to the universe, because the universe is talking. It's telling you. It's showing you. You know, and flat out, there's numbers, there's dots, there's dashes. You know, they look at a telescope, a radio telescope, or all the different telescopes they got, and they can look at a dot out in the sky. You know, they can't see out far enough to see exactly what's going on with that dot, but they figured out that if they use spectrolysis, that they can take colors, and they can take fluctuations in that light, and they can determine by the colors and the fluctuations according to all the gases known and all the minerals known that we've got right now under spectrograph. The colors would tell what is on that planet, or you know, whether there's another planet revolving around it because this thing has a wobble to it or whatever, you know.
Right. Or just basically, its position. It has to show the gravity effect of what's not seen.
Yeah. So why not listen? Why not listen to the actual disruptions in the gravitational field itself? Why not listen to the actual disruptions in the magnetic field itself? Because if I were the future me, I would be up there tapping out Morse code right now, hoping that the past me would pay attention and avert some sort of calamity that mankind was on the way to getting. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Stephen Gibbons said Higgs boson.
Yeah, Higgs boson, there's another one. But the whole thing is as simple as this. If you're going to travel, if you want to travel through time, then just do it. Simple as that. Do it.
Yeah, well, people don't know what you mean by just do it. I mean, it's like, how do you just do it.
Well, we're looking for some sort of fancy time machine. We're looking for some sort of way to go back physically and actually stand there, and you'd actually literally have to stand between dimensions to where you're not interfering with your past, because if you interfere with your past, then you don't have your present, and you start off a new timeline for one of your dimensions.
I don't believe it's all that critical.
Oh, it is. It is definitely critical. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt critical. If you interact, remember when I was talking about how, like, if I send myself an email with the lottery numbers on it, myself in the past ain't going to read it, because I'm going to be suspicious, you know? Here's my...
And you change... Well, if you do that, then you go ahead and you win the lottery, then you change the past of your future.
Yeah, I changed the past of
my
future.
So what's the difference?
For that dimension...
What's the difference of going back and changing?
If I stand on this timeline right now and I go all the way back as far as I can go to talk to myself, and I do something, when I get to the past and I tell myself something, I send myself off into a total different direction. I have changed absolutely nothing on this specific timeline, but changed everything throughout that entire other timeline. Now here's where it gets freaky, because I changed nothing on my timeline at that point, but I sent that wave all the way through all the other different worlds and dimensions all the way around, and eventually comes back around to me, because now all these other time zones on the other spectrum, the fifth, the fourth, the sixth, whatever, all the different dimensions, their timeline changed. They did something different that all the way finally comes back around the entire universe back and affects my timeline. And is it going to be something that I want to occur? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it'd be nice to keep your foot from being chopped off, though. That might be a pleasurable thing for your future.
Well, then learn how to talk to yourself in the past. Learn how to listen to yourself from the future and send those messages back to them in Morse code, you know, or binary codes, and pay attention. And
if you can send that back to the past, then you can go back to the past. I mean, it's not that much difference, I don't think.
Well, I think going back to the past in the physical sense, unless, like I said, unless you're between frequencies, like when you're listening to a radio station and you got it not quite on the station, you can still barely hear it, but it's not on the exact frequency to hear clearly what's going on. So if you want to stand back there and be an observer in the past and not interfere with anything that's going on in the past, then you need to be out of sight, out of mind. You need to be there, but they can't see you, because you're resonating at a frequency that's vibrating so fast or so slow that they can't physically see you. You see what I mean?
Okay. So that means you might have to hold the paper for a half hour. According to everybody else around you, they see you holding the paper, and then all of a sudden you disappeared.
Yeah. Gone, pow.
Or you can walk around while you're reading it and they won't see you.
It's all fascinating, though, man. Go watch that movie, Interstellar. You'll like it. It's pretty doggone cool. But either way, as far as time travel, forward, backward, all these laws of physics supposedly written in stone, they're only written to the perceptions of this planet right here, because, you know, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction as far as we're concerned down here, and as far as we're concerned on any other planet, that should apply. But what if the reaction that you get on this planet, I throw a baseball at the wall and it bounces back and drops at my feet, but on a different planet where the gravitational field might be a little bit different, I throw it at the wall, it bounces back and hits me square in the face because of the time difference. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, you need to go back in time and knowing that you're going to get shocked by that bug zapper circuit and blowing the transistor. You need to get a camera on it and share it so we can watch you jump around.
Yeah. It would definitely be a good one. Well, I'm going to replace the transistor, but I'm not going to replace the transistor as the like put it right to the circuit board. I'm going to take three wires, pull them off of that little circuit board. That way that I can test different transistors, you know, and if I blow it, then I can put another one on there.
Question, did you know what which transistor it was?
Yeah, it was only one transistor on the entire circuit, and it
but did you know you blew the transistor? Usually them small epoxy transistors, the little packages, basically when those blow, usually they blow a piece off. Did you have all the numbers?
No, it didn't blow up to that extent. Still has the numbers on it. It just doesn't work anymore.
All right, there's something you can do. If you find a bunch of those resistors, you can piggyback them, put them in parallel, and set them in there, and see if it'll hold more wattage. And see, and if it doesn't blow something else on the board, you got it made.
Yeah, it didn't affect anything but the transistor on the board. So, unless it, I don't think it burned up the little coil on there. But either way, I'll figure that all out, and I'll make that video anyway, even though I wasn't the first to think about it, nor was I the first to do it, or maybe I was the first to think about it, but I wasn't the first to do it. Whatever, however the case may be. As soon as I thought about it, somebody else had videos out.
Yeah. You're going to find out that a lot, because, I mean, there's billions of people out here.
Well, yeah, and they're all connected, whether they like it or not. We're all floating around in the same sea of energy. Every time you think of something, you send a wave out. Every time you do something, you send a wave out. You know, they call it the power of positive thinking, you know. Thinking about negative brings you negative. Law of attraction, you know. Thinking about positive brings you positive. People don't realize how powerful they really are. It's amazing.
I want to pull out that old radio I had. I want to listen to 54 hertz, 432, and see if they peak up, if they got a peak emission on the band.
Yeah, I'd listen to everything.
This thing will go. Wait, this thing will go down to. I swear, this thing will go down to 10 hertz.
Make you a piezoelectric, doggone it, what's the name? They use them to measure earthquakes. Ah, hate it when that happens. I just had the word on my brain. You know the little seismograph?
Yeah,
all right. Make you a piezoelectric seismograph that has a little needle on it, you can hook it into your... doggone it, your oscilloscope, and that way when you're listening to the frequency, you can actually watch as the peaks and valleys get high and low, and then you can start to calculate out for every high peak could be a 1 or a 0, vice versa, and you can calculate out anomalies in there, things that, the normal frequency when something's running from the frequency of the earth vibrating, all right? Then you know that when you're looking at that seismograph, you know when there's not an earthquake and when there is an earthquake. You see the information, how they got the information out of the earth is calm, then the earth shakes a little bit, and they got information out of there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They got them sensors all over the place. They kind of triangulate where they are by the timing and also the strength.
Yeah.
One spot to another spot.
So since piezoelectrics are really super sensitive, you can use piezoelectrics to make yourself a mini version of a seismograph that can literally listen in as you're listening to radio frequencies and from any range. And as the piezoelectric is vibrating, it's literally moving a needle that calculates out, you know, the dots and dashes. Any hidden messages in that radio signal will come out. You see what I'm saying?
I'm sure they figured it out. I bet it's not binary.
It doesn't matter, binary or Morse code. It's all the same because you go back to the ones and zeros. You go back to the Morse code, the dots and dashes. It doesn't matter. The dot, one dot, a long dash. One dot, long dash means something. 1 0 means something. 0 means something. 1 0 with 1 and 2 more zeros and then a 1, or whatever means something. It's all information. Everything that's being transmitted is information. A stomp on the floor is information. Somebody's mad in this world. They just stomp on the floor. Can be picked up.
Yeah. Heck, you can put an antenna out there to just figure out your frequency in megahertz. You say, 432 divided by the frequency in megahertz will tell you the length of a quarter wave antenna in feet.
Yep.
But it's going to be, you know, your inches are going to be in a decimal point, so you take down the first part of the number, which will be your feet. You take that off, you take that decimal point, and multiply it times 12, and you'll have how many inches, and then another decimal after that, and you'll just kind of have to say, well, if it's like 0.5, then that means a half inch. Put it up there and go ahead and make you a quarter wave. Sit that straight on the ground, run it straight up. And then you can take a file and a battery and put the file, connect the one wire to the ground from the file, or stab it in the ground. Take the other wire, and you probably want to be about a half wavelength away from the antenna. You take connect one side of the battery at that point, and drag a wire straight across to the file. And you can scrape that file with the wire, and it's gonna spark, and it's gonna modulate. But the harmonics are basically gonna send out the frequency to that antenna there. And other harmonics. It's not a filtered system. You're going to be transmitting on several different harmonics of that frequency. But you can do Morse code with that.
Oh yeah, you can.
You don't need a fancy radio system to put out an SOS in position.
Yeah, you can take just a capacitor and a battery and type out an SOS. Every time you connect that battery and discharge it back and forth, or just tapping the power onto it, it sends out a wave, man.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Well, in other words, let's put it down in a little bit more detail. If I figured out the quarter wavelength to 27.185, which is channel 19 on a CB, and I was out there in the field, all I had was wire, I had the battery on the truck, and I had a file, then I could string up an antenna, and I could send out an SOS, and then if you know Morse code, then you could probably Morse code out your position, and maybe somebody will understand if channel 19 ain't slamming. Or you could go, channel 9. Now the police are supposed to listen to channel 9, or the state troopers know. They could probably hear that if they know Morse code.
Well,
Somebody will.
The whole key about what you're talking about is essentially the message in the bottle. And that's why I've been trying to say to everybody that they're not listening. The messages are in the bottle. The messages are everywhere. And they're not listening. And, you know, if you start to listen to the messages, I mean, you can hide in one specific color just with a tiny little modification, just a different shade of white. You can hide right in front of somebody's face a code. You can hide it in any color, in the pixelization of any picture. You can send messages out, dots and dashes and ones and zeros and Morse code forever and a day, and their messages in the bottle. But unless people are listening, then they won't get the message. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you look at the upside down A, you flip the A back upside down, and you basically mirror it, you've got a different thing going on there. The upside down A in mathematics stands for universal quantification, for all, for any, for each. It's part of predicate logic. And so with that said, you know, and all the known laws of physics, start listening and start looking. And if you pay attention, you've been sitting in it all along. You got every answer to every question that you've ever even thought of asking before you ever even ask it. It's been written down for you right there. It's amazing. Dude. Hey, if we paid attention a long time ago, then we would have figured this out. We would have already had the so-called holy grail of free energy sitting right in front of us, and, you know, actually working device that would run even the inefficient junk that we've got. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder, they say they got these people, the Montauk, or, doggone, I wonder where, Montauk experiment and all that, where the people could go into the future and into the past and travel, kind of astral, I guess. Shoot, it'd be pretty nice to know that frequency.
Yeah, well, it's all about whenever you see it, document it, kind of stuff, and make a book. Make a book of all your anomalies, make a video of all your anomalies. Ryan's been doing some things with the Slayer Cider and the doggone the Jewel Thief, and he showed a video yesterday, I think it was, on the Jewel Thief, and he showed different basically coils of wire, wads of wire, loose wire, and how they interacted with the fields and everything, and it's just simply amazing. So if you ever get a chance to go over and check that one out, that was a good one. I think I liked it, so it should be on my Google Plus somewhere.
Yeah, he called me up one day and asked me, he said, I don't know, he said, I'm listening to a radio station, I turn it on, and all of a sudden, as I get close and move my hand and everything like that, it's like I'm tuning the radio. He said, what do you call that? So we talked about that for a while.
Yeah.
Pretty cool video. Also, there's a movie called Frequencies, or Frequency, on Rainier Tamayo. I recommend that. That's a pretty decent movie.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
talking about the it was kind of like a reality that the higher your frequency, the smarter you were, and the lower your frequency, the dumber you were. Even you might still be a genius, but your frequency was lower than you were a different kind of person, and everybody was always striving for the higher frequency. And then by touching and everything, this one gal that had a really, really high frequency just felt no emotions and acted most of her life, and wound up changing his frequency and her frequency, and how it changed everything. And it was pretty. It's a pretty decent movie. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but definitely a good plot and a good story.
Simple of it all is, and we're down to the last couple minutes of the show. If you don't like your reality, change it. If you want time travel, do it. If you're looking to build yourself a doggone time machine like the one in the movies and stuff like that, then build it. Build it, for Pete's sake. All the information's out there. You've got a vast sea of knowledge out there. People working on all kinds of things. You know?
If I do, I'm going to... If I want to try and time travel. But if I do, I want to stay in the past.
Well,
now I'm going to become kind of the hermit of a mountain or something.
Well... If you stay in the past,
I'm gonna have my little wind turbine up there, and I'm gonna—I don't know—I want to be totally sustainable.
Well, if you stay in the past,
all this crap I see going on right now,
buddy. If you stay in the past, you can't go near yourself. You can't interact with anybody who would interact with yourself, because
right. But I don't care then.
If you do, then you ain't in the past. You're in some sort of alternate paradox where you're in an eternal loop of the same day, Groundhog Day, everything happening over and over and over and over again, and how that would affect the entire fabric of time and space itself, I wouldn't even want to contemplate.
I'll just stay secluded.
It's an assumption or a theory, though.
No, that's a fact.
I'll stay secluded and happy, and I don't care if I repeat it, because it'll be happy.
That's a fact. You interact with yourself in the past, and you change yourself. Anything that you give yourself knowledge from the past to the future, then you change your timeline. And will it affect you in the future? Will you be able to go back to the same time? You ever seen that movie Sliders? That says it all. Go watch the movie Sliders.
What if I got a good paying job and sent myself some money? anonymously.
Well, then that, as long as you don't know that you interacted with yourself, I suppose that would be all right. I don't know, man. There's just some, when you get into talk about time travel, there's so many possible paradoxes and potentials that are just mind-boggling. I mean, you could literally rip the fabric of time and space, and next thing you know, you got like 10 eyes on your forehead and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I think
clearly now the rain is gone.
Yep. Anyway, we're down to the last minute, and I got to get ready for the Hope Show, so doggone it, it's been a fascinating conversation. We need to have more of this. But anyway, pay attention. Look at the dots and dashes and the pixelizations and the hidden messages and unlock the mysteries of the universe. That's what this show's been all about, because they're telling you something, man. Actually, you're telling you something, man. All right, well, everybody, peace and love. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.